Hey, podcasters, Claire, Matt and Kimber here.
On today's catch-up, Matt agrees, well, he has to, wax his bum.
A double act with the Teskey brothers and James Blunt.
And we ask, what adult song does your kid love?
After you get this Claire, Matt and Kimber catch-up, get great savings at Chemist Warehouse.
Claire, Matt and Kimber on Mix 94.5.
Bum. Mix 94.5's Bare Your Bum for Bowel Cancer.
Go on, give it a crack.
Matt, I believe you put your foot in it, and I don't mean your bum.
Yeah, I still don't really remember, although it's about to be revealed.
Well, you were meant to be doing squats from our booty mentor, and you didn't do them.
I'm lazy. And okay.
You openly said on air you'd be prepared to get your bum waxed. The old...
Yeah. Well, I mean, I said it.
Yeah.
Well, the back crack and sack without the back.
Yeah, I don't need the back.
The back's hairless, pretty much.
Don't even really need the sack, but maybe we'll do it for fun.
Ew. You have to.
I've got nowhere to go.
Oh, sorry, Santa.
What have you...
Well, the thing is, we've got to follow through now, right?
Yeah.
So we've decided that we're going to do that for you.
We've got someone very special involved, mate. This is not foot and crack. This is foot and mouth disease that you've got over here. You shouldn't have said anything.
I don't want hot wax on my bum hole.
Oh, let's go to some special assistance from Le Beau Day Spa. Karen, good morning and a very special welcome to you.
Oh, well, thank you very much. Very pleased to be on.
So we went ahead with this, Matt, because you did say that you wanted your crack done. And so we've got Karen from Le Beau Day Spa. Karen, you have offered to do Matt's crack.
Yes, I have.
Sorry?
Karen, it's Matt here.
You're right there, mate.
Exactly what will happen?
Well, Matt, we decided that it would be a great way to promote the bowel testing.
Yes.
And your name was put forward.
Okay. I mean, I did say yes to it before I realised it was going to be a reality. Are we talking sort of hot wax on your butt?
Yeah. The wax going on is going to be the best bit. It's the wax coming off that you may have more.
Yeah, can't wait for that bit.
Hot wax is actually quite soothing, and in many places, Matt, it's considered erogenous.
Yes, there.
Are you going to be like the 40-year-old virgin just screaming in that while you're in there doing that?
I'm not sure. So we're going to do this live on air, Karen.
We are. I'm going to come in, and we decided that it would be much more exciting that the listeners could experience your experience.
Brilliant.
Yeah. I mean, mainly we thought, Matt, it's the last week of work this week, and so we knew that you're very busy, and so Karen said, we don't even normally offer this at the spa.
No, that's right.
But they're doing
something special.
It just for you, and so bringing it in here. So, you know, spare a thought for your comrades here who have to see your ass being waxed.
I'll have my eyes shut.
Yes, we're going to have to work out where I'm positioned. Maybe my bum pointing out to Roberts Road or something.
Yeah, I think so.
Bum pointing west.
Looking forward to it, Karen. And look, Matt's bum so far, we've seen bits of it. He loves to get naked around here. And he's not super hairy.
He's a couple of whiskers down there. But it was an easy choice because I've got John Forest National Park down there. So it had to be Matt.
All right, Karen, we're looking forward to meeting you. And we know that you've got the chops to do this because you have dealt with producer Tom's toes before. And wow, they're like a hobbit mess.
Oh, my God.
Apparently, they've gone back to what they were.
Yeah, pretty much have. Double hobbit.
If you can recover from Tom's producer Tom's toes, then you're going to be okay with Matt's crack.
It'd be a walk in the park.
Yeah. Matt, you've gone very quiet over there, mate. You okay?
I'm ready.
See
you tomorrow, Karen.
All right, I'll see you both tomorrow. All three of you tomorrow.
He's clinching his butt cheeks. That's so funny. Thanks, Karen. Thanks for doing.
See you then.
Thanks
Bye.
For doing something special.
Bye.
That's great.
It's going to be great, Matt.
And Le Beau don't normally do that, so it's like a bespoke treatment for your bum.
Oh,
love it.
Okay. It's funny she said don't drink alcohol. I would have thought most people would drink alcohol before they did that.
Just to take the pressure off.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. And Kimber has a crack. Will never be the same again.
No, it won't.
It's all about Matt.
Oh.
Claire, Matt and Kimber.
How's this week that these guys have had? We've got a couple of guys from the Teskey Brothers before the guys play live for us, but a couple of, not just one, but two ARIA Awards last week, and one of them was handed over by U2 there at Optus Stadium before U2's gig.
That's pretty cool.
That was for Best Group at the Australian Record Industry Awards, and we thought we'd get them in and say g'day on their current joint before they head off to New Zealand. Liam and Brendan from the Teskey Brothers. Boys, welcome.
Thanks for having us on.
Now, guys, the first track I heard of yours a couple of years ago was Crying Shame, this one here. And I thought to myself, who are these soulful dudes? And I automatically assumed that you would be from the States, and I was thrilled to find out that you're Melbourne boys. Do you often get that? Do you think people are surprised to find out you're Aussies?
We had that in America when we first got there in New York. We had people coming and up to us and saying, what the hell? You're not from America. Yeah, no, we're from Australia.
Yeah, it just sort of, it has this sound. It just carries. It seems like it is.
Yeah, we get a lot of people in Melbourne always asking us, when are you going to come to a Melbourne?
It's like, oh, really?
You're We've been really here. Not paying attention, are you?
We've been here for 10 years touring.
So obviously fantastic achievement and, you know, you got some arias. It's always nice to get a gong. It's nice to win one. It's nice to be nominated. And there was bloody you too handing you the award. Well, live from their, you know, backstage area.
Yeah, well, it's pretty incredible. I mean, I'm not sure what I'm more excited about, you two or Aggro. So
yeah. I'd be excited about Aggro.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it.
Well, Aggro's getting a few gigs now. He must need to pay the rent.
He's doing the Vegas circuit now.
He was there plugging his show bags.
Oh, I'd love to see the merch.
It's been a tough few years.
And the dream for musos at any age, I'm sure, is to make music and to be paid for to do what you love and be able to do it for the rest of your life. But it certainly doesn't happen for everyone. And when this started to take off for you guys and you were thinking, great, we can do Europe, we can do the US, and you're being played on Jimmy Kimmel and all this is happening, were you ready?
Well, I think we were as ready as we were ever going to be. We'd done 10 years in the trenches playing like weddings, bar mitzvahs, pubs, things where people didn't actually want to listen to us play. It was pretty exciting to have these opportunities thrown at us and just jumped headlong into touring. And we're still playing catch up now.
But of course, none of that matters because one of your biggest fans is an Australian icon, Chris Hemsworth.
The voice.
Hemsworth. He loves you.
Well, I haven't heard of him.
Who is Thor?
I haven't thought about it.
Oh. Lovely.
Yeah, no, he's great. He's such a great support for us. And he just loves music, which is really cool. And so he's just
music and working out.
Well, yeah. I asked him if he wanted to get up on stage and play the biceps, but he hasn't got back to me.
Oh, really? He's a fine exponent. I've seen his Instagram posts when he's in the gym.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's good.
He's trying to out-Jackman these days, aren't
he? Oh, that's right. Oh, he's out-Jack. Come on. He's way bigger than Jackman.
There must be people now, especially after this week with the Arias, that think you're overnight sensations and don't see all the gigging and all the slugging it out. How does that make you feel?
People keep coining us, overnight successes. But yeah. I mean, we've been doing this together for, I think, 12 years now, the four of us.
Yeah, probably 15, something 15? Like that. I mean, we met even longer ago than that. But, I don't know. I mean, everyone loves that story, though. It's just such a journalistic fulcrum, if I may say that term.
I did it with Amy Shark, too. Yeah, overnight success. Really? Yeah.
But I think, I don't think there's actually, even Tones and I, everyone's like, oh, she's a overnight success. But it's like, it doesn't take into account the years of learning an instrument and practicing and... Nice. It doesn't bother me.
Well, we wish you all the successes, and it's a music genre too that I'm really into, and there hasn't been enough of it as far as I'm concerned in terms of new stuff, and there's only so many Wilson Pickett albums you can listen to before you're like, I've heard it again and again and again. So, you know, power to you. I hope you just keep on with the success and bringing out more songs.
Oh, thank you. Clancy, Matt
and Kimber. Run Home Slow here with the Teskey Brothers and So Caught Up live on Mix 94.5.
every time I try to shake it, I can't. It's impossible to do. Even if I try to beg it,
James Blunt, the international recording star, is heading back to Perth in 2020.
He's a good guy.
Yeah, tickets on sale for Thursday, November 12 next year for Kings Park and Botanic Gardens. Go on sale today at dayinthegreen.com.au. And James Blunt, the latest headline, because a lot of people like to pick on James, including Fleet Street Press. Latest headline is that he warms his meals using his underarms to save power of the microwave.
Sensible.
James Blunt, welcome, mate.
Absolutely. You know, I'm surprised everyone doesn't do that.
James, we're thrilled to announce that you are returning to Australia with your Once Upon a Mind tour. How did we manage to convince you to come back to Australia? Was it the wineries or the weather or the people? Tough gig.
I think all of those things, really. I've got some great mates in Australia. My guitarist has married a girl from Perth, so we love to get back out there.
And James, according to the bookies, you're on track to have the number one Christmas song in the UK. Mariah's obviously not going to be happy about that.
Mariah, no, I think it's a bad year for her. And amazing, really. The song for me is a really exciting song. It's for my father who's been ill. He needs a kidney in case any of you got a spare one. And and I played this song in the Royal Albert Hall here, the most amazing venue, in front of the royal family, the Queen, and all these old soldiers and veterans and bereaved families, and my dad in the audience. And then everyone got really excited, and the radio stations have been playing it here, and it's up for maybe the Christmas number one. And I shot a video with my father 2 days ago, and it's very special. It's been a really special time, and actually, as a result of that, two people have come forward and offered him a kidney. And
you're kidding.
It's been very exciting.
Excellent. Was one of them Her Majesty?
No, I think she probably needs her. She's got some years behind her.
It won't be Phillips.
No.
Hey, James, what about this Help for Heroes? What's that all about? I know you're donating the monster single profits from that, which is brilliant. Well done.
I was a soldier myself for a few years, and for the proceeds to go to Help for Heroes, which for wounded veterans.
Oh, great.
Good man. Excellent.
Now, James, you're certainly a talented and funny man. If you were not a musician, what other occupation do you think you would have been good at?
I have just bought a pub in London.
Yay!
And I'm now a landlord of a pub. It's the most fun I've ever had, really. When people say to me, what should we do tonight? I say, I own a pub. Let's go there. It's 170 years old, and it was going to be turned into flats, so I thought I'd buy it. I bought it when I was a bit drunk, actually. And, and because, you know, my mother-in-law is quite a healthy drinker, I can keep her in the corner. My wife's quite a heavy drinker too, so I keep her behind the bar. We play You're Beautiful at 5 to midnight to clear the punters out. And they get me leaving. And the staff keep me down in the pot wash because they're slightly embarrassed by me. And it's amazing. So if I wasn't a musician, I'd be a pub landlord.
Now, buddy, we've just had U2. We've just had Elton John. It's been all about the giant screens. I'm hoping you're not going to let us down. You're bringing a few big spectaculars with you.
Yeah, those guys you just mentioned are small fry. but I'm going further than that. You know, I'll be bringing chickens, other wildlife, and Jason Moran. It'll be a hell of a show.
I think that signals time for everybody to leave the venue because we're playing You're Beautiful right now. All the patrons must shuffle out.
You're very kind.
Hey, James, always good to catch up, mate.
Hey, well, you too. I'll see you in a year. Come to the show.
Beautiful. See you next November in the beautiful Kings Park. All the best.
See you there. Take care. Bye-bye.
James Blunt, tickets on sale today for that gig, which is next November.
Okay.
Don't get it wrong, because it's nearly a year away. 2020, dayonthegreen.com.au.
Plessy, Matt and Kimber. Mix 94.5.
It is time to change the way you put your kids to sleep.
Mm. Oh, really?
Yep, no more white noise tapes, no more of the children's lullabies. Although, you can do these new lullabies. Mm. This is the way to do it. Snoop Dogg has announced a new album for infants.
Okay.
It's lullaby renditions of Snoop Dogg. It's a vinyl that'll be out December 6th.
I love it already.
Yeah.
And it's by Rockabye Baby Music. I don't know if you've heard these guys before. They take really popular albums and they turn the music into children's music, often played on things like a glockenspiel.
They just convert it. Right. So it might be Metallica from Sheet Music and it becomes baby-friendly.
Yeah. Years ago, like probably 12, 13 years ago, I bought my sister for her firstborn, I bought her the Nine Inch Nails remake. And so it was Nine Inch Nails done on the glockenspiel. So you take something like Snoop Dogg, like this.
Mm. Drop it like it's hot, drop it like it's hot, drop it like it's hot.
Yeah.
And Snoop Dogg's Drop It Like It's Hot will turn into this. Hear it?
Oh, yes, I can.
Drop it like it's hot.
Not quite as threatening in the hood, though, is it?
No,
really?
But
it doesn't make me sleepy, though.
No? It's great for the adults because it means that you get sick to death of listening to the Wiggles and the High Fives and all the other rubbish, and now you get to listen to your favourite tracks done for the kiddies.
Okay.
Do you love the High Five and the Wiggles?
Not really, but I'm sure lots of people do.
Not really big on them?
Yeah, they're all right until you hear them for the 80th time.
Yeah, yes. Or the 800th, yeah.
Have you guys got like an adult song that you think your kids would be into, that they'd love?
Well, look, I mean, obviously as parents you play music. I mean, I knew all the words to like Perry Como songs and Johnny Mathis, which...
Oh, the old crooners.
All the old crooners, because that's what my parents played all the time.
Oh, yeah. Did you like it?
Well, look, I think I did. It was good music. But I know with Steppy D, my stepdaughter, when I first met her, she would have been about 6.
Yeah. Mm.
And hearing her singing at the top of her lungs, you can do it, put your back into it. You can do it, put your ass into it.
Having no idea what she's singing.
I was slightly shocked.
They have no idea what they're singing.
No. But she loves that beat.
Yeah. It is great.
There did come a point where an AC/DC became very commercialised, let's be honest. And they started selling the merchandise in Kmart and Big W or whatever. But you know, there are those rock families who do have the kids who are singing Back in Black or Highway to Hell as babies, pretty much. And they roll up to gigs with the kids as well.
In fact, Steppy D loves TNT.
There you go.
It's great music. It's very
grow
catchy,
up on
very
it.
Easy.
Kids love going, hoi, hoi.
Yeah. I've got a mate who he did the dodgy and burned a Wiggles CD. Don't tell anyone.
Okay.
But when he did that online, he accidentally included a Queen track in the middle and it had We Are the Champions accidentally placed around track 6 and he didn't know how it happened, but he played it down south on a trip and that became his son's favourite Wiggles song.
Even though it was Queen.
He thinks it's the Wiggles, but it's Queen. If you ask him to do his favourite Wiggles song, he'll sing We Are the Champions.
Love it.
So give us a call, 133353. What is the adult song that your kids love?
Yeah, you might win a wonderful family prize today as well.
Yes, absolutely.
It's a Weber Jumbo Joe Portable Kettle.
Yeah, experience that mouth-watering Weber flavour this summer. Head to your local Weber store or visit Weber.com for your nearest specialist dealer.
You'd love one of those, wouldn't you, mate?
I would love one of those.
Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
And the kids might be singing along in the car this morning to a bit of...
Matchbox, Real World.
Matchbox 20, Real World with Rob Thomas.
Or it might be a little bit of Snoop Dogg.
Yes.
Whatever it takes. Rockabye Baby do lullaby renditions of famous acts, of different rock acts and things, and turn them into glockenspiel lullabies for your kids.
Sound a bit like this. This is What's My Name.
Oh, Snoop Dogg.
Yeah.
What's My Name.
There you go.
Beautiful. We want to know, what is the adult song that your kids love? Christy in Heathridge, what's your song?
Hey, guys. My daughter's 3. And we take her to the Wildcats a lot. So she hears We Will Rock You by Queen.
We Will Rock You. Love it.
And loves it. Does all the actions and everything. So if she hears Queen at all now, she just says, it's the It's the wrong pet.
Oh, starts doing the clapping.
That's the legacy that Freddie Mercury was hoping for.
And Damien Martin.
Yeah, yes, I am. I would love it.
That's great. Thanks, Christy.
That is brilliant.
Totally understand it with that song too, right?
Yeah.
It's such an anthem, yeah.
Well, so catchy. That's why they wrote it, so people will join in.
Absolutely. Let's go to Parkwood. Mandy, good morning.
Good morning, Matt, Claire, and Kimber.
Oh, nice.
Oh, well done, Mandy.
Very well, Mandy.
Covered all bases.
Mandy, what's the adult song your kids are into?
My daughter, when she was about 18 months, we were on a trip up north and we had a CD in the car, a Beach Boys CD for some reason.
Right.
And Barbaran became her favourite. We thought it was because she was, you know, into making animal noises, like sheep, Barbar. But she knew all the words and used to sing it all the time.
Oh, classic.
Yeah.
And we'll get stuck in your head all summer, that song.
I know. Wow. And she used to do it really high-pitched as well. So.
Oh, they can do it.
I totally get that. Well, in fact, Mandy, I'm sure we had that CD, The Greatest Hits Beach Boys. Yeah.
That's fun. Yeah. I love
great
it.
Great travelling song.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Mandy.
For sure. Well, that would have been Get Around.
Yeah.
So good.
Geraldine and Ellenbrook, what is the adult song that your kids love?
Can we sing it for you?
Yes.
If you've got the kids in the car.
Yeah, what do you got?
Yeah.
Okay.
Ready?
Go for it.
I'll be riding shotgun underneath the hot sun, feeling like a someone.
Geraldine, who's that in the car with you?
I don't know that song.
Juliana.
Oh, Juliana, well done.
How old is Juliana?
She's 5. We're actually sitting outside her school waiting for her to go in.
And all the kids love those George Ezra songs. So easy to join in with, you know? Shotgun. So good.
Oh, great. What a great way to start the school day.
Yeah.
Thanks, Geraldine.
And can I suggest that George Ezra is a much better fit for children than perhaps some Norwegian death metal band.
Quite possibly.
You're doing a great job, Geraldine.
Thank you.
And thanks for the sing-along. That was sensational.
That was cute.
Love it.
Clearsy, Matt and Kimber. And we are talking about the adult songs that your kids love. You might just try and push them on your kids, but they turn out to love them because Snoop Dogg's doing a lullaby album for kids.
Sweet.
And we want to know what your kid's into. Lynette in Balladura, what's the adult song your kid loves?
Oh, good morning. Yeah, when my son was 4, I had a problem with a bit of translation going on. Mm. He's saying to me, come on, Mum, I love the Thumbs Up song. I'm looking at him thinking, I have no idea what you're talking about, child.
Thumbs up.
And I'm like, you know, I like a little bit of AC/DC. Had it cranking. It's Thunderstruck.
Oh, thumbs up.
You've been.
And when you do the chorus, it actually sounds like thumbs up.
It does.
Thumbs up.
So I was just like, the joke with my husband and I, we just laugh. And for my 40th, I end up going as a family to AC/DC.
Oh, brilliant. Brilliant.
I just have a good laugh. Every time I hear the song, I just think of my son when he was young.
I'm going to think of your son too now, Lynette. Every time I hear it, I'm going to be going thumbs up.
All we can hear is thumbs up or double thumbs up. That's hilarious.
That's great.
It's like awesome. All right, have a good day.
Thanks Lynette.
Yeah, that's cool.
Very cool.
Let's go to Bushmead. Shane, good morning.
How are you going?
Good, mate. Hey, what's the adult song that your kids love?
Oh, it's Metallica. It's Enter Sandman.
Oh, really? How old, Shane?
My daughter's 2.
Yeah?
She's loved it since she was 6 months old.
Oh, Shane, is she air guitaring? What are you getting out of her?
She goes off. She doesn't air guitar, but she moshes and she is just all over the place.
Runs around the room.
Absolutely.
It is a great song to mosh to, let's be honest.
Oh, yeah.
It's so heavy for a 2-year-old. I'm just imagining this cute little girl running around the room.
Oh, yeah. We used to use it to settle her tantrum. Within seconds, she would be quiet and go to sleep.
Oh, fantastic.
Wow.
Bit of Metallica. Well done, Shane.
Absolutely.
Enter Sandman indeed, and off you drift to sleep.
And if you listen to the lyrics, it's a pretty scary go-to-bed song.
It's a very
really
scary song.
That's great.
Thanks, Shane.
Adam.
Love it.
Right. Clizzy, Matt
and Kimber. I better stretch. Kimber's hot. She's a really good news reader, but here's what Jen King missed.
so many listeners tell me. 6:10 is the time. Look, in 1989, we're talking 30 years ago here,
we
kids.
Are, yes.
A couple from Long Island, New York, paid roughly $100 for an unclaimed storage unit.
Oh, I love it when people do this.
So this was one of those blind auctions where they and the people selling it, you know, the auctioneers don't know what's inside.
Oh, it could be a mouldy old couch.
The lucky
could be anything.
Yeah, so you might get a mouldy old couch, some crappy furniture, some old Harry Secombe and James Last records, or maybe you've come some early Tom Jones in there.
You know,
when you see those old records, yeah. Nana had.
Or, Engelbert Humperdinck.
Yeah, all that stuff. Yeah. And that kind of stuff could be in there. When it was opened, it was unsealed, the couple found inside something pretty special. Some old blankets, and underneath the blankets, the 1976 Lotus Esprit sports car used in the filming of the James Bond film, The Spy Who Loved Me.
What?
What?
The Lotus was inside. That was the one that became the submarine when it went under... underwater.
Yes. That was built in WA.
Yeah, exactly.
How does someone misplace a car like that?
Isn't
I mean,
that
someone's
incredible.
Put that in a storage shed and just thought, oh, it's not worth going back
for. Yeah, I mean, I guess if you died, that's one thing. But if you just sort of, you know, came upon hard times, you'd go, well, I've still got the car in there. I should use that.
Yeah. You'd think so.
Which would have been 76, would have been Roger Moore, I'd take it. James Bond, The Spy Who Loved Me and all the rest of it. So, they paid the $100, right, 30-odd years ago. Now, Tesla and SpaceX billionaire Elon Musk has paid $1 million to get the car off him.
Of course he has.
Because he can.
Yeah. What's he going to turn it into? Is he going to do anything useful with it?
Put it in with his other 100 cars.
Yeah.
Yeah, you send it to Mars or something with some passengers.
You see, people go on and on about the property market being a good investment. Clearly, that was a great investment.
This couple had never seen a Bond film as well. I think that's really funny.
Really?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they've probably seen some since.
It's so expensive to do up cars, though. People always have the best of intentions. Like, oh, I'm going to work on that. Elon Musk is about the only one who can afford to do parts on it.
Pretty much. Yeah, I'm going to renovate.
Yeah.
They'd never seen the movie. Now they're living like Bond.
They are.
Funny that, isn't it?
Yeah. That's cool.
Just an incredible story, and Elon just keeps buying more of the world. Good on him.
Clancy, Matt and Kimber. Mix 94.5.
She came all the way from Belmont, and here she is. Kimber Kale.
Hey, I came all the way from Belmont, and at a time when Belmont was considered one of the lower socioeconomic areas of Perth.
How's it rated now?
Well, it's close to the city now.
Yeah, it's pretty close.
Things are picking up.
Yeah.
There's a bit going on there.
Belmont back in the time, I came out of school and I thought, I am a spelling nerd. Naturally a spelling nerd. Didn't have to work very hard at it, if I'm honest. I suck at maths, but I'm very good at spelling.
Okay. Yep. Yes.
And
check
I don't know.
Yourself too. But anyway.
I should be good at a B.
Look, I don't
B.
know what's happening to our future. The world is in fire and drought. The polar bears have no ice.
Hey, but the economy's seen a slight upturn.
Hey.
And we've got plenty of ice in Perth.
Yeah.
Heaps of ice in Perth. Mm. The polar bears should come here. And now the Apostrophe Protection Society, which was set up in 2001 to try and educate all users of the English language about the proper way to use the apostrophe.
Yes. What was it called again?
The Apostrophe Protection Society.
That's cute.
It's the APS.
They've closed down.
Oh, no. Really? Been defeated?
They've closed it down. The chairman of the society, John Richards from the UK, he's 96 years of age.
Okay.
And he has said the laziness of others has finally won. Ignorance and laziness has taken over. He said he can't fight the good fight anymore. He worked in journalism for years and he created the society after he retired. And people would send in examples of things that needed to be corrected.
Yes.
And even in the dead of night, some people would go out and correct people's signage.
Yes, that's true.
But now it appears that nobody cares about the humble apostrophe.
Well, we read a lot of news items every single day and it's very clear that no one cares about grammar anymore, particularly those that have studied journalism.
I just don't understand.
Yeah. Mm. Isn't it unbelievable? And I think now these computer systems with the little squiggly red line or whatever comes underneath to let you know it's a problem are not accurate enough.
Mm. I did see a sign a couple of weeks ago. We were going for a walk and I saw a sign that had men's, as in toilet. Apostrophe before the S.
Oh, really?
Oh, no.
Men's. I went, really? That's bizarre.
Yeah, I've seen a couple of sites. There's like the odd one that says 3-bedroom villas with an apostrophe.
Yeah.
Like so unnecessary.
That's even worse.
Tattoos. Like, it's strange.
It is. But you know, language does evolve.
It does.
We know that. And I noticed that someone was saying the apostrophe's always been quite problematic. And there were 3 publications of a book that was all about like the Bible of grammar in the 1920s, the 1950s and the 1990s. And all of them had a slightly different way of using apostrophes.
Oh, so it's all changed with the times.
Yeah, totes on with him.
It evolved.
It's always changing, isn't it?
I told you that story about my girlfriend in England. Her mum was very proper.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And she was one of those people that would say proven instead of proven.
Proven?
Yeah.
Okay.
And she'd say, well, that's the right way to use it. And I'd say, well, yeah, but not anymore.
It's been proven.
Because it evolves.
Yeah, I know.
And
we
don't
speak.
Say it like
there's
that.
No Shakespearean mate. Sort of language around here anymore, is there, other than the pop-up globe?
I do live with someone who came over as a youngster in the 70s and basically from the UK and says nude. And
nude?
When the nude?
And says Wednesday.
Oh.
It's not the Queen. It's my wife.
I thought it might be
I do get corrected for my ochrisms of everything. So.
Oh, does she ever say, Dean, please go to the room and get nude?
Bedroom.
The bedroom.
Meet you in the bedroom, you're nude.
Get nude for me.
Love it.
I'm in so much trouble.
Let's go with that. I would love Laurie to do that.
Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
Now, of course, we are in the lead up to a bittersweet day on Friday where we say goodbye to Captain Paul as he's going into his retirement. And, of course, raising awareness for bowel cancer with Bare Your Bum for Bowel Cancer.
Yeah.
It just seems weird, doesn't it, saying that? Paul's going,
it's
Paul's
what
retiring.
He wanted.
It's what he wanted.
Yep.
So, obviously, we've been spending our time reflecting on Captain Paul.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Captain Paul is many things to many people.
Yep.
He's a pilot. He's a traffic guru.
Yes.
He's a doggy daddy.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, we know him as one of the world's great talkers, as a wonderful raconteur, a wonderful storyteller. Captain Paul first has got a story.
Yeah, look, years ago I was working up in Wickham and I'd fallen asleep on the couch at night.
Yes.
And wake up to just
that's unusual.
Being fully fully aware of a big bang or noise that had actually woken me up.
Yeah.
And all the lights were out. So I actually thought someone had broken into the house, turned the power off, and they were actually inside. And I was just down near the couch, shaking. And then I heard another thunderclap and I went, oh, hang on. Okay, it's a lightning storm. And so it was, nothing happened, but I tell you, it scared the
just a power out.
Yeah. I could have easily gone to the toilet in my pants that day.
Oh.
Okay, well, I'm glad we crossed to Paul for that. So there is a great example of being on point.
Yeah.
And you will remember that when I did Matt Sits From Your Hood, Rockingham.
Yes.
Well, Paulie went with me because, of course, he has many things in his car.
Yes.
It's like Albie Mangles' car, if you remember Albie Mangles.
Yep.
He's got everything, including his drones.
Albie the Great Adventurer.
The Great Adventurer. So he took me down to Rockingham to film some stuff for Rockingham Hits From Your Hood. You'll remember this one.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Gotta get it. Rockingham, you'll never
have to smoke your stash alone. Stop hogging it, mate. Pass it on. So we got some great footage. The thing was, of course, that he talks.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
So we get in the car here at Mix in Subiaco.
Sure.
And he starts talking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And at one point, he still hasn't stopped talking, by the way. We're talking 45 minutes later, maybe a little longer.
All the way to Rocky and beyond, yeah.
Well, yeah, I see a sign, Pinjarra.
Captain, we have a problem.
And I said, dude.
Maybe we've gone too far.
Because I forgot to tell you, he'd said, I know the way.
Yeah,
I know.
Oh, he always knows a back street.
Oh, you know, Rolly Road, look out. He's going up
knows
there.
All the rat runs.
All the rat runs. Mm. Pinjarra.
Oh, dear.
And then I get out, and I said to him, Pinjarra's a bit further south than Rockingham, isn't it? He goes, oh, I'm not sure. Check on that. We've gone like double the distance. God.
And then you had to go back again.
Yeah, but you never panic with the captain.
No.
Because in that car, he's got a bottle of water.
Sure.
He's got a bottle to wee in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you've had that water.
There'd be lots of empty candy wrappers.
Lots of empty candy. Lots of places to extinguish your cigarette.
Yeah. He's probably got a compass.
Oh, he's got everything. He's got aeroplanes shoved into the roof
racks. A drone to go up and see if there's any help.
Yeah. All the tools that he can never find when he needs them.
What a guy.
But you never would have found yourself in that situation without him.
Oh, no.
That's right, yeah. You made it back and did the video, didn't you, Rocky?
We just made it back in time.
Just before it got dark.
Before the cigarettes ran out.
You got to share it, mate.
Yeah, so, I'm going to miss that.
Oh, yeah. Lots of chats and lots of things to celebrate. And on Friday, that's what it'll all be about, celebrating a 30-year and two-day career.
Mm.
Absolutely. And, of course, Friday is a big day because Paul's driven. I caught up with one of his good friends on the weekend saying, she said, this has kicked off an incredible campaign because people involved in bowel cancer are just going, yippee, because the numbers of people who are just around Perth being inspired by Paul to do their screening
test,
which is brilliant. And we're going to have a big breakfast on Friday as well at the Shore House.
Super. Right.
Yeah. He'll be there.
Yep.
Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
Mix 94.5's Bare Your Bum for Bowel Cancer.
Go on, give it a crack. Bum, bum, bum.
Captain Paul, in his cancer journey, has made one thing really clear.
Yes.
He wants to make as much noise as possible and get as many people doing the cancer screening test as possible for their bowels.
And we're so lucky in this country to have these opportunities. You know, healthcare is better than it is in other countries. You've got this free test that comes in the mail.
Yep.
And we don't often give the government applause, but they have been given applause from the Cancer Council for $10 million extra into this national bowel screening campaign.
Yeah, and it's so easy to do. And at this stage, only 43% of West Aussies have been returning their kits.
Okay.
I mean, you're doing a poo every day, guys. Yeah. You know, just get onto
Hope
it.
So.
Because, yeah, 43% of people returning it isn't quite enough. And they're saying that participation actually goes up to 78% for the second one because people realise how easy the first one is.
Yeah.
So that's great. I mean, if you can turn it around and get that first test done, then you're really changing your life.
How many people around town have said to you guys, it's happening to me almost every day. Someone's going, I did my test because of Captain Paul.
Yeah.
And some of these figures coming out, I mean, even these New South Wales figures are amazing, saying that, you know, a four-year national campaign could prevent over 8,000 bowel cancer cases, which is exactly what Paul's trying to do.
Absolutely. And we all get it. We're not lecturing here. I'm in the same boat. I'm coming up to 50 and I still feel like a kid. And you think, oh, that won't happen to me.
Yeah.
Just got to get over that, do the test and be done with it.
And I mean, of all the terrible things that can happen to us in our lives, I'm actually astounded by this stat and I keep bringing it up because obviously the earlier that bowel cancer is found, but they say if you've got a 99% survival rate at stage one. 99%.
Yeah.
So if you
odds.
Do that test, I mean, that's incredible.
Pretty damn fine.
And it gets down to 13% at stage four.
Sure.
So that's a very quick decline. And so to be able to just do that simple test, how fantastic.
Yeah, you can see how easy the test is too, because we did a little video last week.
Yeah,
just
you
go
did.
To Mick's Facebook. So it's not, you're not touching poo. It's okay. It's not mucky or anything like that. So.
Get onto it, Perth.
Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
And good to have Chemist Warehouse involved in the show again this week.
Yeah, absolutely. You get all your best fragrances there because they've got all the best deals.
Oh, they certainly do. We've got Giorgio Armani Acqua di Gio, 200 millilitres for $129.99.
Millilitres. Look out. Or a Simiyaki for men, 125 mils for $69.99. That's a good price.
That's good millilitres. Yeah.
Chemist Warehouse, great savings every day.
Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
Now, my friends, the famous Coburn faces.
Oh, yeah, on the train station there.
Yes, the artwork of the composite image of a young man and an older lady from 250 images that were supposed to represent the Coburn community, weren't they?
Certainly were. Everyone thought it was just basically
a missing
boy that should have been on a milk cart.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, but they've deteriorated so badly over the years that now they've finally been removed.
Yes.
And the city of Coburn want ideas on what to put up there.
Yes, they do. I guess one of the options they're talking about is putting the artwork back.
Oh, the original.
Because it was such a success.
Wasn't it starting to fall apart a little bit, so they had to put it back, fixed up?
Oh, yeah, it'd have to be completely redone. But it was a good talking point. It's just nobody really knew what was going on.
No. But that's what art should be, right, is a talking point.
Yeah.
You don't necessarily have to like it.
Mm. No.
Mate, but if it's make you talking.
You're talking Coburn, you're talking art. This is art.
It's a cool place, and as I'm getting older, spent a lot of time looking up as I ponder those two strange faces looking down, claiming they represent this town. But I'm not you, and you're not me, and none of us are Tony Gallardi. Look at Coburn and take a breath. The ice arena's not a place for men.
There you go. I'd forgotten about that. Yes.
There you go.
I mean, they've come up with some good options, though. They're saying you can either put the faces back, we can put up a big clock.
Oh, that's what we need.
Oh, someone said yesterday on the news, oh, no one would ever be late for the train or bus again.
Yeah, I mean, you can see it from a great distance. I mean, who doesn't have a watch on or a phone on them these days?
You can't touch your phone in the car.
Yeah, that's true.
So we can't. It's all about not being distracted, except for the big shiny thing that's not on the road.
I think probably more useful for pedestrians than it would be for drivers, wouldn't it? A big clock.
I'm thinking about something that's very Australian. How about the cricket and footy scores, depending upon the season?
Oh,
you'll always be updated.
That's beautiful.
You like that?
That is beautiful.
Good on you, mate.
They've also said you can put art or digital advertising up there. Mm. I reckon that
that'd be nice. We haven't had enough of that digital advertising.
Well, you know what? I think everything's for sale. Why not make it digital advertising and alternate it with a clock?
Make some money.
So every few seconds it swaps back and forth, and then use the money to reconfigure the ridiculous driving situation valuation they have put around that stupid shopping centre.
They're doing that at the moment, aren't they?
Yeah, put the money back into it or give people free transport or something. Put the money back in but digitally advertise on the space.
Can you let the clocks go? You're obsessed with clocks.
Yeah, I know. I reckon if you swapped between the two, isn't that a happy medium?
No, I guess.
You don't know. Can't they have just nice things on there?
What, like cat videos?
Be a nice person.
Oh, like inspirational.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, God.
Be a nice person. You're dreaming.
Happiness is A-OK.
Yeah. You're the best. You're doing the best you can.
Now you've got this Claresy, Matt and Kimber catch-up. Get great savings at Chemist Warehouse. Claresy, Matt and Kimber. Join them weekday mornings from 6.